Chapter 9, The Fractured Veriton. Slate pulling the reins, bringing the horse skidding to a halt. Dust kicked up as the horse made a soft neigh. The sounds of his hooves clattering abruptly ceased. Slate and Lope peered down at the kingdom of Veriton, hidden behind the towering stone wall. The view was concealed mainly, but a smattering of townhouse rooftops peeked over the stone wall, and a drawbridge at the centre of the stone wall. Slate paused momentarily and let out a near inaudible sigh. His gaze shifted to meet Lope's. "You will be properly cared for here, I promise." Slate studied Lope's posture, who let out a deep sigh, a slight but perceptible sag in Lope's shoulders. Yet, Lope remained silent. With a gentle tug on the reins, Slate urged Sage forward. A fresh breeze caressed Slate's face, while the clear blue sky lit their path to Veriton. Upon entering the town, Slate dismounted from the horse, taking hold of Sage's bridle, while gently guiding Loke through the kingdom of Veriton.
"Wow," Loke whispered.
Slate turned to look at Loke, noticing his eyed wide expression as he scanned the tall, white-painted buildings with black wooden slates. The edges of the building and areas surrounding the windows caught Loke's attention, his expression transitioning into one of sadness. Curious, Slate followed Loke's gaze and observed the black, scorched buildings with broken windows and claw marks entrenched into the doors. Loke's curiosity was evident.
"What happened here?"
Slate sighed heavily as he told the tale. "Years ago, this kingdom was once a vibrant, bustling place. It was so lively that people would travel for days to visit. They came to watch the greatest horsemen in the jousting competitions, to receive the finest training from experienced mentors, to search for knowledge or to seek refuge. Many found a permanent home here, owing to a stable government that made decisions for the betterment of the people, even though those decisions were harsh yet necessary for justice's sake."
The political situation changed after some time.
The old king and queen were dethroned by the Valentar family, who were loyal followers of the Kingdom of Expanse. Slate's voice hinted at regret as he continued. "These new rulers were selfish and showed no care for the people. One fateful day, the town was attacked by furious monsters, and the new cowardly king and queen abandoned their people, leaving the villagers to fend for themselves." Slate paused in his stride, tightening his grip to the horse's bridle as he surveyed the scorched buildings around them. The aftermath of the attack resulted in many casualties, but a few brave, selfish individuals led the surviving villagers to safety. They provided food, tended to the wounds, and shielded them from further harm while waiting for the monsters to depart. After this tragedy, the people of Veriton swore a solemn vow never to let a king or queen to rule their town again.
"So, what happened next, with no one to lead them?" Loke asked, curiosity piquing.
Turning to face Loke, Slate's expression softened as he responded.
"The people who protected them were respected and trusted by the villagers. Their guidance helped shape the vibrant town that Veriton is today. To maintain order and protect it from future attacks, many villagers trained as guards, ready to defend their home at any cost."
Loke's eyebrows raised as he queried, "And you think I'll be safe here?" A small shocker escaped Slate's lips as he caught Loke's confused expression.
"Yes, it is no longer the sanctuary it once was. But the respected leaders have ensured their town remains a safe haven. I particularly trust one of them, a woman named Elitrin. I sincerely believe she would care for you as if you were her own. She is one of the few people I trust completely."
Loke was about to speak, but was interrupted by a voice calling, "Slate!" Slate turned to look, only to see it was Elitrin. He smiled as their eyes met, and the pair slowly moved towards her. Elitrin's hair was dark as night, tied in a half-messy ponytail that cascaded down her waist. Elitrin's gown was a blend of vibrant crimson and obsidian black. It had seen better days. The once ornate fabric was now mired in grime. Under Elitrin's green, sparkling eyes, there lay grey shadows. As they approached, Slate hugged Elitrin. And then Elitrin asked, "What brings you here, Slate?" Slate looked at Loke and then Lenshin followed his gaze, smiling when she saw the boy. "Who is this handsome young fella?" Loke didn't say anything. Slate replied, "That boy, Loke, he is the reason I'm here. We should talk somewhere in private." Elantrin nodded as they strolled away, keeping Loke in their sight. Slate whispered, "I saved the boy from Ascanus that slaughtered all the people in his town, Kurtan, including his parents. He has no one, and you're the only person I can trust to take care of him and treat him as your own. I know it's a lot to ask, but I have no choice." Slate saw Elantrin put her hands to her lips as she remained still, gazing into Slate's eyes without blinking. Elantrin's gaze moved as she stared at Loke with a soft expression and nodded. "I will take good care of him until I find a better home from him." Slate breathed a sigh of relief. "Thank you, Elantrin." Elantrin nodded and they both turned to walk towards Loke. Loke dismounted Sage and Elantrin walked towards Loke and lowered herself to Loke's height, a warm smile on her face. Elantrin said, "Now, you handsome young man, you look like you need rest and food. Let me show you to your bed and get you some food." Elantrin reached out her hand to Loke, but Loke stubbornly kept his hands to his sides and just stared at her. Elantrin stood and said softly, "Well then, please follow me." Slate and Loke followed Elantrin as she directed them to two rooms in her stone castle at the very back end of the protective walls. The castle constructed from massive blocks of rough hewn stone. Its walls stacked high and thick, it towered over the surrounding town. Weathered scars marked the stony exterior. Its size dominated every other dwelling in the city. Once they entered the castle, Elantrin guided them to their rooms and left a spare set of clothes on the bed for them both. Loke grabbed the clothes and went to the bathroom to bathe. The bedroom was two grand poster bed that swayed in damask curtains. A red stained candle on their hearth burned brightly, casting warm shadows on the scorched stone walls with their barely visible family crest. The icy cold breeze swept through the cracked windows as Slate sat on the bed. Slate's gaze fixed upon the bed frame, which bore the scars of fire, its edges charred and blackened. Slate felt the bed dip slightly as Elantrin sat next to him. Slate lifted his gaze as he stared deeply in Elantrin's bright eyes. He smiled when her eyes met his. Elantrin whispered, "I see how you look at the young man. You seem to have gone fond of the boy, and he seems to like you. Are you sure this is the right thing to do?" Slate exhaled. "Being a nomad like myself is no lifestyle for a child. He has his whole life ahead of him, and I don't know if I'll always be able to protect him. He already had two close calls. At least he'll stand a better chance of living here than if he was travelling with me." Elantrin nodded and Slate felt Elantrin's hand touch him softly. Elantrin spoke gently. "I understand, and I promise you I'll take care of the boy. Slate, I owe you at least that much." Slate nodded. "Thank you." Slate looked at Elantrin with a somber expression. "It's time for me to say goodbye to Loke." Slate walked through the stony corridors. His footsteps echoed through the corridor as he walked towards the washroom. Slate noticed a few people stealing glances at him and whispering amongst themselves. It made him feel uneasy. He could hear one man saying, "I heard the man over there keeps objects of everyone he killed as some kind of memento of all the innocent victims. He can't be trusted. He must go soon. We must scare him away." The other man said, "Did you hear about that boy he brought? The boy who disappeared? The boy he's supposed to stay? I don't feel safe or trust the child. He came with that stranger. I'm afraid of what he'll do if he stays."
The first man agreed.
"Yes. The child must go one way or another." Slate stopped in his tracks, furious at what he heard. He marched over the two villagers and took out his sword. He pointed the blade against the villager's neck and hit through his clenched teeth. "Listen, you fool. You must stop making up these lies to scare people because you are threatened or scared. Now, if I hear something that happened to that boy or if he's harmed, you'll be the first person I come after. I will cut you into pieces. Your tongue will be the first part I take from you, so you can't tell any more lies. I am a man of my word, and you know what? I will show you what I'm capable of, seeing as you've been exaggerating the truth for your own benefit. Otherwise, you won't feel a need to be threatened by me."
So that boy must be treated like a king here. If anything less, I will come after you all.
Slade stepped back, moving his sword away from the villager's throat.
The villager shouted, "You will not get away with this. The guards will kill you now if you use that sword."
Slade turned to walk away, putting his sword back in his sheath.
The villagers shouted, "Guards! Guards! The man over there with the sword threatened to kill me. He wants to kill me. Get him!"
The guards approached with their swords raised. Their heavy armor clinked as they rushed towards Slade, ready to attack. While raising his hand, Slade signaled to the guards that he was unarmed but kept his hands close to his sword. Slade declared loudly,
"I don't want to fight. I don't want any bloodshed."
The guards laughed. "Are you serious? We will not let you go after you threaten our people." The guard raised his sword at Slade.
"You are coming with us to our prison cell. It's going to be your new home."
Slade exhaled a deep breath as he reached out for his sword.
Electrician screamed, "No, stop! This madness at once! No blood will be shed in this town. This man is here to drop off a young boy, a survivor of Kurudan. He is leaving now, so please stop. Stop this and let him leave."
Slade lowered his sword while keeping himself fixated on the guards. The guards also lowered their swords.
"Yes, we will do as you wish, Elentrin." They turned to Slade, "You go now, but only because Elentrin has requested it. But if you don't leave now, there will be trouble."
The guards walked away. Slade turned to Elentrin and spoke softly and said, "Thank you."
Elentrin muttered, "I didn't do it for you. It was the guards I was saving. And for Loke, I say he would miss you if he couldn't visit. Will you pop in to visit, won't you?"
"I hope so. It won't be for some time." Slade sighed and continued, "He may have forgotten me by then."
There was a silence for a moment when Slade added, "I must go before the guards change their minds."
Elentrin nodded, "Take care, Slade."
Slade walked towards the washroom and opened the door. Loke was getting changed when Slade walked through the door. With a sombre expression, Slade looked at Loke. Loke looked at Slade similarly and said,
"Are you saying goodbye, Slade?"
Slade mumbled, "Yes." Suddenly, Loke leaped up and hugged Slade tightly. Loke spoke sadly,
"Thank you, Slade."
Slade held Loke by the shoulders and pulled him back slightly to look him in the eye.
"No need to say thanks anymore, Loke."
Loke nodded, "Will you come and visit me?"
Slade spoke in a hushed tone. "Yes, I will, Loke, I promise."
Slade ruffled Loke's hair and slowly walked out of the room with his head lowered. Loke rushed to the door and watched Slade walk down the corridor. Overhearing the villagers' comments, "That stranger is leaving now and the little boy he brought will stay. I want to get rid of the boy." Fear and unease settled in Loke's heart and he quickly droned on the hooded cloak Slade had given him earlier. With the hood covering his face, Loke slipped out of the washroom and stealthily through the crowds, avoiding Slade's view. Once outside, Loke ran towards Sage and gave the horse a comforting pat on the head.
"Good boy, Sage. Now act normal."
Loke noticed there was a wooden hay wagon carriage tied to Sage.
Slade must have put on Sage earlier to help him gather and transport supplies for his journey.
Loke climbed into the hay wagon, hid behind the food and covered the cloak over him, hoping to escape the village unnoticed. After a few minutes later, Loke heard Slade's footsteps approaching, and then Slade's voice, "Sage, it's just the two of us now." Slade lightly hopped on Sage's back and set off away from Veritan towards the forest. After some time, Loke felt a horse coming to a halt. Loke heard Slade dismounting Sage and his muddy footsteps trudging towards the hay wagon. Loke tried to curl himself in a tight ball to hide behind the supplies to avoid being seen. Bit by bit, Slade unloaded all the supplies from the hay wagon. Slade saw Loke and angrily dropped what he was holding. Slade grabbed Loke's arm and pulled him out of the hay wagon. Slade roared,
"What are you doing here? I told you to stay in that town."
Loke tried to soothe him.
"I know, Slade, but I overheard this villager talking about getting rid of me. I would have been dead if I stayed."
Slade grunted, "You would have been okay.
Elentrin wouldn't have taken care of you." Loke replied,
"Yes, maybe. If she watched me every second, I might have survived. But you know, that's not as possible. They fear you and they were scared to harm me because of you. So they would have probably gotten rid of me once you left. And I feel safer with you. I have no one else that I can trust besides you, Slade."
Slate lowered his head, exhaled a deep breath when he processed the last words Loke spoke, and then grunted.
Fine. You will stay here for now. Off you go to feed Sage. Relieved that Slate was not angry with him, Loke ran towards Sage with hay and water. Once Loke finished feeding Sage, Slate said, Let's go. It's getting late. Loke and Slate gathered the supplies and put them in the hay wagon, journeyed more profoundly into the forest.